but teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit through your word. Lord, hit us right where we need it tonight. Lord, I pray no matter what that we would be those who are grateful Christians. For you have done so much for us. You have given us, Lord, every blessing in the heavenlies. And we thank you for it and we praise you for it. And help us, Lord, not to get down over trivial sorts of things that this life throws at us. For it's just so good knowing you. Don't let us clutter those things up. In Jesus' name, amen. Long road trips with small children in the car with you are very long. In fact, I think kids will complain more every 10 miles. It sort of increases exponentially as you go. And when you have small children, they need so much physical care. And so you're always getting up out of your seat to help them and whatnot. Now, I remember when I was a kid and we went on road trips, that was a day when we weren't as strict with seatbelt laws, you know. And so my parents were really smart. They'd turn the back of the car into a bed. And we'd get up real early in the morning, say 3 a.m., and my brother and I, we'd sleep half the way there. But today you got to have them all belted up. And boy, those of you who have had that experience, it's tough, isn't it? Mommy, are we there yet? Mommy, how many more miles? Mommy, I got to go to the bathroom. Ooh, mommy, I dropped a toy. Can you come get it? All those sorts of things. Or I need a snack. Not that snack, a different snack, mommy. One that I like. On and on and on it goes. And it can be very, very tiresome. In Numbers chapter 11, the nation of Israel behaves like a bunch of complaining babies on a road trip. Full-grown adults. They're on a journey. They're going from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. And within 3 days of going into the journey, they're complaining. Amazingly, look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 11. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. You believe that? They complain. Been into their journey 3 days, and it says they complain. We don't know exactly what they're complaining about right here. We'll get more details later as to what sorts of things they're complaining about. But it would just seem here that they had a complaining heart. Complain, complain, complain. And it really is amazing to think of. I mean, after all, these people have been ordered, organized, cleansed, separated, blessed, taught how to give, reminded of God's deliverance, given God's very presence and the tools to advance to the promised land. And yet they complain. And before we look down on them with too much judgment, that describes a lot of us, guys. Here in the church, members of the church, you know, the scripture does say we've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And yet we complain many times along the way, don't we? And it would seem that most of the people in this camp had an ugly, self-absorbed, complaining heart. How does the Lord react to such a thing? Well, how did he react here? It's simple cause and effect. It says in verse 1, the people complained. it displeased the Lord. The people complained, and His anger was aroused against them. And in this case, His fire burned and consumed some of them on the outskirts. And the fire wasn't quenched until Moses pleaded for that to stop. It's pretty simple here, guys. A complaining heart bugs God. He's displeased with that type of a heart. Complaining is not good. And I think that's because when we complain, we show such little gratitude to God for all that He's done in our past. And you know, when we complain to God, we show such little faith for what God can do right now in our present in the midst of that problem. He was angered. He was displeased. Keep reading in verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of delium. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans and made cakes of it, and its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Look what they're complaining about here. Pretty amazing, huh? Verse 4 tells us where the source of the complaining is. Notice it says, the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. There were people among their ranks who are referred to in Scripture in the Old Testament as the mixed multitude. These people had intense cravings and they yielded to it. Now, what is this mixed multitude? Well, Exodus chapter 12 tells us that when Israel was brought out of Egypt through the Exodus, through the Red Sea, you remember the story, that there was a mixed multitude that came out with them. Folks that were not ethnically Jewish. Foreigners. Egyptians. Other foreigners who perhaps were slaves along with the nation of Israel in Egypt. And they've come out with the nation. They're not true Jews, and they're obviously not true believers. They're mixed. They have a craving for Egypt. They start complaining. And the complaining spreads among the people of Israel. The source was this mixed multitude. Dangerous crowd. And by the way, I do believe that the church has a mixed multitude, just like the nation of Israel does. There is a mixed multitude at church. There is. There are those who claim to be Christians, who claim to have the name of Christ, and yet they're totally mixed. They may not even know the Lord. And they're worldly. And they'll follow the Lord as long as it's fun and good and okay in their life. But as soon as something goes wrong with their life, many times they quit the faith, they take off. Or if they spot something that they don't like in a church, they'll start making an issue of it, and they'll start complaining. And they'll start an epidemic of complaining within the church. Dangerous. The mixed multitude. You don't want to be a part of that group. Just love the Lord. Just serve Him. Praise Him and thank Him no matter what's coming your way. What are the people, look at how trivial this is. What are they complaining about here? They're not complaining about lack of food. They're complaining about type of food. Flavorable food. It's very clear to me here that they're sick of manna. They've exhausted every recipe on how to fix manna. They're grinding it. They're baking it in a pan. They're making it into cakes. And now they're tired of manna, and they look back on Egypt and they say, oh, we want meat, cucumbers, leeks, onions, garlics, melons. Oh, we want all that good stuff. Yummy, yummy, yummy. I mean, they're complaining over whether or not there's salsa for their taco, you know? Trivial sorts of things. And I'll tell you what, the people of God will complain over trivial sorts of things just like that. I heard someone the other day say, I don't have enough room in my freezer for all the food. Oh. Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't have anything to wear, as they look at their closet full of clothing? But I have nothing to wear. Think about it, my brother, my sister in Christ. When you complain, what is it usually over? It's usually over something physical, materialistic, or something temporal. That gets us. That's what we complain about. We shouldn't. Now, hear me straight tonight. There are things that happen to us in this life that are very tough. And it is good to bring those things to the body of Christ and to want prayer for it. A person loses a job or a person has some kind of a health issue, and it's very tough things. And there are very tough things that we face. And it is time when you bring those before your pastor or before the elders or before your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you ask them for help with the burden. And that's good and well and fine. But then there are some people who become obsessed with their problem. That's all they can ever see. And they become chronic complainers. And they bore you with the same problem week after week after week. And then there are some Christians that I know that are going through very severe problems in their lives. And they come forward and they weep with you and they want prayer. You pray with them. And then you pray with them. And then they go about their way and they silently trust God through that problem in faith. And they're not chronic complainers. We have to watch the complaining heart. We learn a lot about complaining here. You know what's going on in this passage? It's very easy to see. Something called creative memory. Selective memory. You know when you complain, oftentimes how you were in the past, you look back in the past and you go, oh, that was so good then. Creative memory, selective memory. That's what they're doing. They look back at Egypt and they say, remember all the food? And then they sort of embellish it. Remember how good we had it? Oh, yeah, what about the bricks? What about the whips? How easy we forget. How easy we do forget. Selective, creative memory. Beware of that, Christian. You may come through a tough time in your life and you're a Christian, and you'll look back on your life before you became a Christian, you'll think, boy, I had it good back then. I had so many friends. I would party and have such a good time. Oh, yeah, that's random, selective, creative memory. And of course, Satan's there to go, yeah, you had a lot more fun, yeah. But yet how quick you forget how you cried yourself to sleep and how there was a sense of loneliness in your heart that's been filled since you gave your heart to Christ. Here's something else you need to be careful about when you're complaining. Look what they're saying in verse 6. Watch this. They say, now our whole being is dried up. Our whole being is dried up because I have no garlic. This is exaggeration, isn't it? Have you ever noticed when you're going through a hard time, you exaggerate the problem because that's all you can see? And you walk around like nobody else on planet Earth ever had to deal with such a thing? Just me? It's the hardest thing you could ever have to experience or go through? No, it's not. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. I got another question for this group. Why didn't they go get their own meat? Here they are complaining, who's going to give us meat? Well, hey, they could have gone hunting. They could have gone and slaughtered some of their flocks. There was nothing in the law of Moses that forbid that. There was stuff in the law of Moses that directed them how they were to do it if they were going to do it. They could have done it. A lot of people who get in this cycle of complaining, that's all they do is complain and they don't even try to do anything about their problem. Oh, it's such a cycle. It's so deceiving too. Many times you can't even see it. I'll tell you what, guys. We have to see our life at a higher purpose, don't we? Things are bigger in life than our little materialistic physical problems. Things are bigger. We're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We're to enjoy His presence and His blessing in our life, no matter what. And you know, a lot of these hassles that we have to go through in life, physically, materialistically, whatnot, God will use those in our life to make us better men and women. If we respond to the circumstances in a godly way, by faith. Love the story. I heard about a young man who was trying to establish himself as a peach grower. So he worked hard and invested all his money in a peach orchard. It blossomed wonderfully, but then came a killing frost. Lost all the peaches. He didn't go to church the next Sunday or the next. His pastor went to check up on him. The young fellow exclaimed, I'm not coming anymore. Do you think I can worship a God who cares for me so little that He would let a frost kill all my peaches? Ever been there? The old minister looked at him a few moments in silence, then said kindly, God loves you better than He does your peaches. He knows that while peaches do better without frost, it is impossible to grow the best men without frost. His object is to grow men, not peaches. And so many times these circumstances in life are God's ways of growing men and women of faith. Amazing. The complaining that can go on, and how the complaining can zap all your joy and all your strength and all your direction. Complaining will hurt you. It also hurts the spiritual leaders. Look what this does to Moses. Verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Moses is very discouraged. You know, spiritual leaders do hear the complaints of the people. And it bugs them. It hurts them. Moses is very discouraged here, isn't he? Did you catch it? Kill me! I want out! God, This job's way too hard. I didn't conceive of these people. Where am I supposed to get meat for all these people? Why have you not shown favor to your servant? Why have you afflicted me, O Lord? You know, I think Moses was caught completely off guard here. Totally off guard. After all that God has done for the people, after all that He's done, and even after the first incident where fire consumed some of the people on the outskirts of the camp, don't you think that would be a clue that you shouldn't complain? There you go. And yet, they're complaining. So Moses was totally taken off guard. And it's very subtle here, but I do want to point it out. Moses is complaining too, isn't he? And you know what? I think Moses is acting like a little wah-wah here too. Kill me, I'm going to hold my breath. I'm done. I quit. Think about that. Well, imagine if God had an office and He had a desk. Think of all the complaints He gets. His complaint box would be full and overflowing, wouldn't it? I mean, people in the world complain against God. People in the church complain against God. Even spiritual leaders in the church complain to God. Isn't it amazing that God loves us? Cares about us? Just like we care about our complaining children. This passage tells us what really gets spiritual leaders down. And I want to point that out to you. I've been here. I've experienced this. There are things that will really get a spiritual leader down. And we see a couple of things in this passage. Look what Moses says to the Lord. In verse 11. Why have you afflicted your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? The burden of the people. Look at verse 14. I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Let me just share something with you. Ministering to people can sometimes be a great burden. Spiritual leaders are called to work with people from all different sorts of backgrounds and all different problems and whatnot. And I'll tell you, that can sometimes be a burden. There are some times where I'm not so glad that I'm a pastor, to be quite honest. There are times when I deal with people, and I'll tell you, as a pastor, I get to find out almost all of the problems that everybody's having. And there are times when it's a little bit overwhelming and the burden is strong. And I go to the Lord and I ask for help, but I know that He's called me to do that. And that can be tough. And when that becomes overwhelming, a spiritual leader can get down. But listen, you add to that complaining about trivial matters, and that'll many times push you over the top. And I want you to know that I am here to talk with you and pray with you about any of the burdens that you might have in life. But the complaining over trivial matters doesn't help anybody. Now, I got to tell you, it is a joy to work with this congregation. And I mean that in all sincerity. Here we are going on 5 months in a tent. And we're trying to get this place built over here, and we will. But I got to tell you, I haven't heard any complaints about this tent. I know it's a little raw. I know it can be hard, you know, setting up things and doing things and living out here, you know, in the wild, in our tent, you know, and having church out here. But I got to tell you, it's been good. And I want to thank you guys for having such a wonderful attitude. There haven't been complaints over trivial matters here. And you know, a few of us thought that maybe a lot of people would leave the church since we're meeting in a tent. Hasn't happened. We've grown bigger and stronger. And the Lord has been doing awesome things in this place. And I thank you for your attitudes. How long did it take the nation of Israel? 3 days. And they were complaining. But we're doing okay. And I thank the Lord for it. Here's something else that will bring a spiritual leader down. Notice in verse 14, again, Moses says, I am not able to bear all these people alone. Alone. Think of the responsibility that Moses had. And there were simply too many problems. He couldn't bear it all alone. And that's when a spiritual leader feels down, when they feel like they're alone. I've been there. But also, again, I just want to tell you how wonderful it has been over the last 2.5 years as we've seen this congregation grow in number and in maturity. About 2.5 years ago, guys, Martin and I felt alone in many ways at this fellowship. But I'll tell you, about 2.5 years ago, we started to see a real revival here with leadership and volunteers and servants coming forth, and it's awesome. Because spiritual leadership needs help. Spiritual help. Leaders who can come up and share the weight spiritually with the needs of the congregation. And we're seeing it. Praise the Lord. Moses is down, obviously. Look what God says to comfort him. I love it. Verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same spirit upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Isn't that beautiful? Moses says, God, I feel all alone. I can't bear the burden all by myself. And God says to him, help's on the way. Help's on the way. I got some servants that I'm going to raise up for you. 70 elders of the elders of the nation of Israel, other elders that have already been known and appointed as elders. 70 of those are going to be brought forward. They're going to come to the tabernacle. They're going to stand before the Lord. The presence of the Lord is going to come down. And the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, upon Moses will also go upon those 70 elders in the same manner. So Moses will have 70 Spirit-filled elders helping him to share the burden. And he goes, oh yeah. Thank you. God said, I'll raise up some leaders for you. Wonderful advice here about raising up leadership. Leaders are needed in the body of Christ to perform many different functions. If you remember the story of Moses and them coming out of Egypt, you remember that, almost a half year into it, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came to watch and see how things were doing. You remember this story? And Moses is sitting before the people all day long, hearing their problems. And Jethro says to him, what you're doing is not good. You need to delegate, disperse. And so 70 elders were brought forward there to help Moses with the work. Now here we see 70 more elders brought forth. There's the spiritual leadership of the priesthood that's working with Moses. There are the leaders of the tribes that lead them out on the march. So you got all these different types of leadership functions within that nation. And I would say that there's all sorts of leadership functions within the body of Christ. We have them here. Calvary Chapel Sun City is administered by a board of directors. I have five men on the board of directors with me here at this church, and their primary function is a business-oriented advice and counsel to me. They're spiritual men. They follow the Lord. They were picked because they are spiritual, but their function, if you will, is to make business decisions for the church, keep us accountable for how we're spending the money, etc., etc. Very important role. And then I have spiritual leadership here at the church, like Pastor Martin, who helps me in ministering spiritually to the people. I would also put a number of others in that, people that lead Bible studies or lead worship or lead other groups in Bible studies. Those are spiritual leaders sharing the burden. And then we have administrative leaders within the body of Christ here. People that do all sorts of administrative functions, and they lead that, and we need them all. We need all the help we can get. And I thank the Lord for the volunteers He has raised up, and I keep even asking Him for more. We're going to need a whole lot more as we continue to grow. The other thing I love about this, if you notice real carefully, look what he's told in verse 16. Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders. Whenever you pick spiritual leadership in a church, you pick those who are already leaders. I've made the mistake many times of putting someone in leadership because I thought they had great potential for leadership. I've learned never to do that. You don't put people in responsible positions. You don't put people in leadership because they have the potential to be great leaders. No, never do that. You put those people in places, those people who are already leaders, who are already serving, who are already recognized by the whole flock as elders. Very, very important lesson that I've learned. And then it's also important to pick elders who have the Spirit of God upon them, right? The same Spirit that was on Moses is on these elders, these 70 elders. I love it. Oh, and by the way, those elders had the same spirit and heart as Moses as well. You'd like to see that, where everybody in leadership has the same heart, the same vision. Help's on the way, Moses. Let me encourage you. Look what else he says to Moses. He's going to feed the people meat. Watch this. Verse 18, then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it is well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. Because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before Him, saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot, yet you have said, I will give them meat, for they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. God takes care of the problem. Moses goes to the Lord and says, man, God takes care of it. Moses, I've got it. Let go. I've got it. And of course, Moses is thinking, we'll have to do a lot of fishing. We'll have to do a lot of slaughtering of flocks. Man, we're going to feed 2.5 million people meat for a whole month. Where's it all coming from? And God says, I got it. I'll take care of it. You watch. And God can do it, can't He? It's amazing how He can provide Jesus feeding 5,000, a few loaves and fish, God feeding the whole nation with manna in the Old Testament. How encouraging this would have been to Moses. Yep, you can do it. And it does appear that God is going to teach the folks a little lesson too, right? You want meat? You're going to get some meat. Be careful what you complain about. Be careful what you pray about. Be careful what you hassle God about time and time again. You might get an answer. And you know, He may just be trying to protect you. But you got to have this thing, and you're going to pray for this thing. You got to have meat. Be very careful. One author said, "Those who reject the perfect purposes of God find the alternatives nauseous and undesirable." It would have been much better for them to just wait on the Lord, don't you think? And who knows what the Lord may have been thinking, what He may have been planning. Well, verse 23 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you will see whether what I say will happen to you or not.' So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the Spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the Spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again." Now here come the 70 elders. They're chosen. They're brought before the tabernacle. The same Spirit is upon them and they prophesy. Watch what happens as you keep reading. "But two men," verse 26, "had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses and said, 'Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp.' Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, 'Moses, my Lord, forbid them.' Then Moses said to him, 'Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them.' And Moses returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel." Isn't that a great story? For whatever reason, two of the guys who were listed didn't make it to the tabernacle. You can only speculate why they weren't there. Maybe they didn't want to be there. But there they are walking around in the camp, and when this happens, woo, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to prophesy right there in the camp. Somebody sees them and goes and tells Moses, "Somebody else is prophesying." Joshua, being a good assistant, looking for any dissension that there might be in the body, goes to Moses and says, "Forbid them." And I love Moses. What does he do here? "No, I wish everybody had the Spirit of God. I wish they would all prophesy. I love it." What a great spiritual leader Moses was. He wasn't threatened by other Spirit-filled servants of God. You know, spiritual leaders should not be threatened by other Spirit-filled spiritual leaders. Shouldn't be afraid of it. At this church, guys, I want to be surrounded with them. I want to be surrounded with Spirit-filled men and women who are serving God with great power and great talent. And I'm not threatened. I want it. I want to see others. I'm open. You know what else? I want to see El Paso filled with Spirit-filled, anointed pastors. Even if they pastor another church. I want to see them going. Don't you? spiritual leaders shouldn't be threatened by other men and women of God who are anointed. And you know, sometimes pastors fall into that trap. They turn church into a big competition. So-and-so is better than so-and-so. Well, this church is better. Oh, come on. I pray that we're all good. Amen? May the Spirit of God rest upon the spiritual leadership in El Paso. May they be anointed. May they prophesy, teach. That's what we want to see. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people for certain periods of time. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit worked differently than He now works in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon certain men and women for a certain period of time, and then the Spirit could leave. I mean, here in this case, the Spirit of God is on Moses, and the Spirit of God will be on the 70 elders. And that's how it was in the Old Testament. And we know that the Spirit could leave, because you remember the story of King Saul and King David. Remember, King Saul was full of the Holy Spirit. What happened? The Holy Spirit departed from Saul and rested upon David. And in fact, David even wrote a psalm once, later in his life, where he says, "Let not thy Holy Spirit, take not thy Holy Spirit from me." That's how it was in the days of the Old Testament. That's not how it is in the days of the New Testament. And hear me clear. The New Testament teaches that if you are a born-again Christian, you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside you right now. And every Christian has the potential to allow the Holy Spirit to work through them as a channel in a very powerful way. It's called being filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that everybody is indwelt with the Holy Spirit when they give their hearts to Christ at that moment. But after salvation, there are points where you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and overflow you and empower you and work through you, gushing rivers of life out of you. That should be true for every single Christian on the face of the planet. Imagine the impact we should have. Imagine. And yet, how many Christians are worried about fish? Garlic? Onions? Leeks? Have you been empowered by the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you a witness for Jesus Christ? Is the Holy Spirit bubbling out of your life? Moses said, "Oh, that everybody had the Spirit of God resting upon him." In the church, we've all got the Spirit living inside us. Let's have them overflow us now, shall we? The Holy Spirit can be very powerful in you. Corey Ten Boom tells about how a woodpecker tapped with his beak against the stem of a tree just as lightning struck the tree and destroyed it. He flew away and said, "I didn't know there was so much power in my beak." Can you imagine that? The Holy Spirit can take a little part of us and just use it in a mighty, mighty way. If we will open ourselves up to Him and ask Him to use us. And when he does use you, please remember that it wasn't your beak. It was the Holy Spirit of God working through you, and you give all glory to Him. Let's finish the chapter. The meat arrives. Verse 31. Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and left them fluttering near the camp about a day's journey on this side, and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. The people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers, that's 60 bushels. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people moved to Hazeroth and camped at Hazeroth. Also, you got these quail. And by the way, it's actually very common in that part of the world and in that area. There'd be great migrations of quail coming all the way across the desert. And there is even record of the quail. I mean, they're going a long way, so they start to fly lower. Maybe they get tired or whatnot. And there's been records of people catching lots of quail just with a net. Or clubbing them down. And that's what happens here. God miraculously brings these birds. Now you might ask, why did God judge them? He brought them the birds. They were supposed to take them, right? And eat them. Why does He judge some of them? They were awfully greedy, weren't they? Did you notice what they're doing? It was a gluttony. It was excessive greed. And those who ate to excess were killed. The plague came upon them. Again, God is good to us, and let's take what He gives us. And when you go after these other things that are outside His plan for you, and you glutton it, and you greed, and you crave it, and you lust for it, that's when you get in lots of trouble. The name of this place, the name they give it because of what happened here, is Kibroth Hattaavah. You know what that means? It literally means graves of craving. Graves of craving. And let me tell you, if you give in to sinful cravings, even as a Christian, these things can destroy your life. These things can wreck you. Be careful. It's important to learn from the bad examples in Scripture. You with me? It's important to learn. Let us learn. The lessons for us, Christian. Watch the complaining over trivial matters in your life. See the higher purpose of your life. Remember that the chronic complaining heart displeases the Lord. Let the Lord provide for you in His way and in His timing. Don't yield to the intense cravings for sin in your life. Don't be a member of the mixed multitude. I would also say tonight, my brother and sister in Christ, if you're feeling dry and if you aren't being used like you once were for the Lord, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit afresh again tonight, right here, right now. Ask the Lord to get you back on track. ask the Lord to really let you learn how to hang on to those priorities in life. And if you're here tonight and you do have a burden, the people of God are here to share that burden with you. We would love to pray for you. We want you to know that you're not alone. And I also want you to know tonight that if you're here and you carry a big burden, God will not leave you alone either. He'll minister to you if you allow Him to and if you come to Him. And maybe you're here tonight and you feel like life is really burdensome right now. And you could use a helping hand. And you could, if you could, you'd ask God to take your burden from you. But you're not sure about this God. Listen, you have to have a relationship with God first, and then He'll help you. And my friend, you can have a relationship with the living God right now, right here. The Bible says God sent His only begotten Son to save us. He died on a cross for our sins. And He rose again that third day, defeating death. And if a person asks Christ to forgive them of their sins, to come into their hearts, He will, and He will save them. And you become a member of the family of God, and He'll help you carry your burdens. He's got strong shoulders. Let's bow our heads and we're going to close the service. Lord, keep us from a complaining heart. Keep us from a complaining heart. Lord, help us to be those who really do count all our blessings before we notice all the problems. For the blessings are many. We do ask You to help us with our burdens, Lord. We give You our burdens. You've told us to cast our cares at Your feet, and we do so. But Lord, help us not become consumed and self-absorbed. For You told us, Lord, that if we want to find life, we should give ours away. I want you guys to have just a few moments to spend some personal time with your Lord. Open your heart to Him. Confess. Get right with your Lord. Now I'm going to ask if there might be anyone here this evening who wants a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to rest upon you. I'm going to ask you right now to stand to your feet right now. Stand up. We will pray for you. God bless you in the back. Two of you right here. Right there. God bless you. We all need fresh infillings of the Holy Spirit. All of us. So don't feel embarrassed if you need to stand. If the Holy Spirit's telling you to stand, stand. Bless you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that your Spirit would rest upon my brothers and sisters. That you would once again fill them, overflow them, empower them for ministry. Lord, they stand desiring an empowerment and an infilling of your Spirit. And so we pray by faith that you would do so, that you would make them refresh their appetite for your word, strengthen again their times of prayer, again make them sensitive as witnesses, use them mightily. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, may your Spirit rest on all of us. Let's all join them standing.